The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take the man with the bat.
Hey, broadcasting from my home studio in downtown Belfort, Pennsylvania, worldwide on tonight. Worldwide as National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and any place else you hear or see the show. Welcome to 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion. I am your host, Peter Serafine. Tonight, I want to talk about, people are getting stupid, and I have proof. But also tonight, I've got Brent Hamacek from Common Ground Campus going to be joining us at the bottom in this first hour. At the top of the second hour, we've got Dave Summerall from StopPate.com, the Justice for January 6th crusader that he is. And, yeah, I guess that's it. I don't know. I hope you all had a fabulous Memorial Day, as much as I hate saying happy Memorial Day. There's got to be a better way to say that. You're supposed to be memorializing the dead. That's not a happy thing. But I don't know a better way to say it other than, you know, remember Memorial Day or something like that. But anyway, it is what it is. So people are getting stupid. And there's actually proof now. Now, CNN did a story. I know, CNN. CNN did a story back in 2018 that said that, you know, there was a steady decline in IQs, but they didn't really have any hard data facts. They had touchy-feely kind of study things. But one study that just came out this past spring, you probably already heard about it. It's been out for a little while. A study that's done by Intelligence Online. They've been doing the study for about 30 years. And every decade or so, the average IQ of the American citizen has gone up 3 to 5 points until this year. This year, they put out the study, and for the first time ever, it went down. We actually had a drop in the average intelligence of the participants of this study, which is 18 to 60-year-olds. And I think that's important. I think the age range that they use for the study is important. And I also think that it's going to prove my point as we go on here. But anyway, we're starting to look a little bit like the movie Idiocracy. The documentary Idiocracy, if you ask me. If you haven't seen it, go find it, go rent it, go stream it, whatever. Idiocracy. Funny, funny movie. Stupid, but funny. And it turns out it's headed toward being a documentary, which often happens with those supposedly satirical movies. So anyway, this is a live call-in show. Phone line is open, 512-248-8252. If you like the toll-free option, that's 800-313-9443. So why are we seeing this drop in IQs? And I said that I thought the age was important. Well, because I think a big part of the reason that we're seeing this sudden drop in IQ is the Federal Department of Education. See, anybody under the age of 47 got their entire education under the current Federal Department of Education, under their rules, their regulations, their control. Anybody over 47, like, I don't know, 47 to 58 or so, had partial Federal Department of Education influence. See, I'm 50. I started school, I was born in 72, so 77, 70. Oh, no, I'm wrong. Anybody under, like, 53? My entire education was under the current Federal Department of Education. But I think that in 1980, when the current Federal Department of Education was created or came into being, they didn't have all the power and sway and influence that they have today. So anyway, my point being, the age range, the 18 to 60, we're getting to the point that there's only like 10 years worth of people there who were not educated under the current Federal Department of Education. And then you've got like 30 or 40 years of people that were under the current Federal Department of Education. And now, so the balance has swung. It's an average report, an average test result. So do we really need any more evidence, any more proof that the Federal Department of Education is a failure and should go away? See, now that there's more participants in the study who have been through the Federal Department of Education system, indoctrination, whatever you want to call it, now we're showing this decline. That's funny, funny stuff. But what are some of the other things that have contributed to us all getting stupid on average? Not all individually. I'm not calling you stupid. But maybe. I don't know. Look to your left. Is that guy stupid? Guy to your right, is he stupid? One of the three of you probably is. Okay, so we got the Federal Department of Education, definitely a contributing factor. What about some of the other things that have changed in our world in the last 60 years that would make this happen? Shout out to some of the people over here in the video chat room. We got Sarah, who's sharing out the links to the show and being fabulous. Thank you very much. And then we've got Leprechaun, the Kentucky Leprechaun, says, "Grand Thursday, brother." Thanks. Back right back at you, Leprechaun. Greatly appreciate. Oh, and Leprechaun just also put it in, political correctness hasn't hurt the adoption of stupidity. Absolutely right. I actually have political correctness as one of the causes in my notes. But I have it as a sub-cause of the political divide. So we have gotten to this team mentality where my team right, your team wrong, and nobody really thinks about issues anymore. And part of that came into political correctness, where, you know, now you can't say things that are logical if they might hurt somebody's feelings. You can't say facts if they might hurt somebody's feelings. Now, what does that do to your mind when you're growing up? You're a child going through this educational system, and now all of a sudden you've got this whole political correctness stuff, PC culture. Does that help you learn? I don't believe it does. Charlton Heston said, "Political correctness is tyranny. It's just tyranny with manners." And I absolutely agree with that. You have the right to say whatever you frickin' want to say. Now, me, I'm here broadcasting FCC rules and all that kind of stuff. If I cuss too much, I'm going to get kicked off the air. So there are consequences to what you say. And if you go into a job interview and you say stupid things, you're not going to get the job. See, consequences to what you say. But that doesn't mean you can't say them. But now you add political correctness into this mix, and a young, fresh, squishy, moldable mind. Well, I can't say that because it might hurt somebody's feelings. So what else can I say? What can I say? It has to be a stifle to learning. Well, what about what we're doing right now, what I'm doing anyway? I'm surrounded by computer screens right now. I've got a camera in front of me with a computer monitor here, another computer over here where I can touch and play funny sounds. I got a phone right in front of me where I'm getting messages during the show. What about all the computer screens? Sure, we can get into that a little bit more. But first caller of the evening, Alan in Texas on line one. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Yeah. Good evening, Peter, you effing POS. No, we won't cuss on the radio. No, just kidding. Hey, no, you're talking about the downgrade in people's, if you want to call it, cognitive functions, base intelligence, everything else, you know. Mm-hmm. My friend, I've sat on the outside of the computer world, the internet, and definitely the smartphone world, and I've watched society, people, even good people, you know, degrade around me. It's like they people that used to have some intelligence, you know, could pay attention to the environment, you know, pick up on things, figure out how to do things for themselves. Now they don't know how to do anything unless they can access an app on their freaking smartphone. You know,
right?
They don't have any retention of any knowledge in their brain because they live in the damn cloud or whatever you want to call wherever this crap is. You know.
Well, I'm guilty of that. I haven't remembered a phone number in decades because all I have to do is start typing, you know, the first couple letters of that person's name and it pops up in my phone and there it is. And so you're right. Because it's right there, we don't have to remember it. And then your brain, kind of like a muscle, if you don't use it, if you don't exercise it, well, it atrophies. It goes away.
It atrophies, yes. Yeah.
Now, how much? I don't think anybody can deny there are good things about the internet.
Yes, there are. There are very good things. But you've got to understand, before it was released to us, it was weaponized, and the good things are just like a teaser, like a carrot, you know, on the stick in front of the donkey, you know, pulling the cart. You know?
Nice.
But ultimately, you're a slave and you're being forced to work. You know, there are good things. It's very convenient. You know, it can be very helpful. But overall, when you look at the overall effect that it has, people have become compliant, convenient morons. I'm sorry, you know. But
well, it was funny. I can't remember what I was doing, but I was doing something, you know, handy / mechanical recently, and my beautiful wife was like, just asked, well, where did you learn to do this? And I honestly couldn't remember. Like, it just felt like something that I always knew. It's kind of like, you know, changing the oil in a car.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. Crawl under it.
Well, this is like a cousin of mine that they bought this brand new steel, extendable pole trimmer. And apparently at the factory, the bolts hadn't been tightened down. So they pulled it out and the whole damn thing came apart. You know, the shaft came apart and they tried to jam it back together and it didn't work. And so, you know, my young cousin brought it up here and we sat out here. And I'm like, well, do you have the instruction manual for it? Yeah, we've got it right here. Of course, it didn't even have a schematic breakdown of how the damn thing went together because they don't want you knowing that in today's world. And so we sat here for a while, and I'm like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And, you know, got it pulled apart, figured out how the collars and all the little lock nuts and everything went together in there, got it put back together. And I turned to him, you know, we pulled it, started up, ran just fine. And I looked at him, I said, you know, William, I said, you know what you ought to be proud of as well as me? We didn't have to go to YouTube to figure out how to do this.
Right. You know? Right. It's the common sense, the you know. Anyway, another example, it's funny, go back, find an old owner's manual to an old car, like something from the 50s. You know, find an owner's manual to a 1957 Chevy. And in that owner's manual, it will tell you, the owner, how to adjust the timing, how to set the valve gap. Now you look at an owner's manual and tells you, don't drink the battery acid.
You can't even open up the hood without voiding your warranty in today's world. No.
Right.
No, my friend, exactly what you just said. I've got a 1948 Ford 8N tractor here, and I've got the original owner's manual that my grandfather kept when it came. My uncle said he can remember the day it was delivered. It tells you how to strip that tractor down to the crankshaft bearings with an 11/16 inch wrench and a flathead screwdriver. You know, it's very simple. You know, if it doesn't start, you know, it's like, well, check the spark. If it doesn't have a spark, change the condenser. You know, if it has spark but no fuel, take the fuel bowl off. And the carburetor is just so simple. I mean, you know, it's not real difficult. And this damn tractor still runs from 1948. Mm-hmm. You can start it up and it purrs like a kitten. You know, Very simple, very easy. Why did it all have to change?
Government had to change it. Government had to get involved. Here's another example. You remember back when gasoline, like when you had literally a can, it looked a square rectangular can that you put gas in, and it had a flexible spout on it where you could pour it into your chainsaw, your lawnmower, or whatever. And then government came around. Government came around and says, oh, no, you have to have this anti-spill, tricky-dicky thing to make sure that you're not, you know, leaching oil into the earth or gas into the earth or something like that. I swear right hand to God that I probably spilled 10 times more gasoline since they started adding those safety valves than I did before when it was just a little flexible hose.
You've got to be some kind of an engineer to figure out how to turn the damn thing on so you can put gas into your car or your lawnmower. You know, it's like, why? You know, it's like just put a spout, you know, just put a plug on the end of it with a spout, and you can take the spout off and pop the little thing on the back so you have an air drain. And, you know, why does it have to change? Oh, well, you know, government restrictions, making us more and more compliant, reliant, and less self-sufficient than we've ever been. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, my friend, I didn't mean to stay on this long. I just wanted to call you up, and you were talking about, you know, just what's happened. You know, I've actually got a friend that's been staying over here with me, and we found, and I've got like a 1980s Trivial Pursuit game, you know, and it's got like, what, like 1,000 cards in it, you know, six questions on a card. And sometimes we'll be sitting here bored, and he'll just start pulling out these cards and start asking me questions. And I can generally get like 3 to 4 questions out of every 6 on a card. Correct. And he looks at me and he's like, how in the hell do you know all this crap? I'm like, because I grew up with a brain,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've kept my own brain, and it's all in my memory bank, not somewhere in the cloud or on a memory stick somewhere. You know, it's inside my head still. Anyway, thank you, Peter. I'll let you get on with your show, man.
Hey, thank you very much, Alan. So Alan seems to think that internet and these screens that I'm surrounded by, that's a big part of why we're becoming a more stupid society. What does Sarah in Oregon have to say? Sarah on line 3, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. And, you know, free speech isn't free, but we have gotten stupid by not sharing out links to every show that you need to listen to. My friend, is why we're stupid. Bye!
That's a lovely tie-in, Sarah. Help the free speech networks. Share their links. Send it to your friends and your family. Tell them who you're listening to, what you're listening to, why you're listening to it. We on the right side of the political aisle, we don't get the help of the algorithms. Google and YouTube aren't helping us out. They're not out there finding us listeners. We rely on you for that. So please help us find listeners. Before we move on, talk about help. Let's talk about the Wellness Company for a second. The Wellness Company is it's a great place to find a doctor that isn't woke. A doctor that you can, you know, video call with or call that can get you meds if you want to, you know, stockpile meds in case of the zombie apocalypse. They'll help you do that. If you want a doctor that's willing to listen to you, who didn't go through woke indoctrination camp and really believes in you and your patient rights, then it's the Wellness Company. Go to twc.health. That's twc.health and use the code Lighthouse. This is radio for We the People, Liberty Lighthouse. Patrick in Texas on line one. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Peter. You know, speaking about, you know, dumbing down things, a lot of these old people, you know, they'd be driving like 40 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone, and you would think that, you know, they have the most experience, you know, of everybody. They've been driving for like 50 years. They should be racing around like they're going out of style. But in fact, they have lost their ability to process. And so what you got to do is you got to get something that speeds up your processing, like a Pac-Man game. And you exercise it, and 40% of people get increase their ability to process. Just things like that you can do, you know, that, and of course, you know, they're fluoridating all the water. You know, it's like two thirds of all municipal water supplies have fluoride in it. And that is known to be deadly to your brain. They're not helping. They're actually trying to, you know, if you ever heard the story about fluoride, how they had a bunch of, contamination from aluminum, and they needed something to get rid of it, you know, so we'll just sell it to the American people. You heard that one?
Oh, yeah. You know, the fluoride that you get at the dentist office is not the same as the industrial waste fluoride that they put in the water supply. Yeah, I think we all know that.
Well, no. It's not the, as far as I know, it is. And so these industrial waste product that the aluminum company wanted to get rid of, and they just started putting in the municipal water supplies. I know it sounds crazy, but you can look into that. Of course, they wouldn't do that to us. I mean, you know, of course they wouldn't put anything in the air that would, you know, that would harm us with aluminum or something like that. No.
Operation Sea Spray never happened or anything like that either.
Right, that either. Right. You know, they sprayed everybody, as an experiment. And of course they do it to the military also. It's known. It's a they're experimenting on the military.
Always.
That's all I got. I just want to tell you about that. You know about that. You know that there is things you can do, like you know, playing Pac-Man. It speeds up your processing.
Right.
And I take my call.
There's things that you can do to practice. Thank you very much for your call, Patrick. Mike in Kentucky on line three. You've got maybe 3 minutes before we go to break.
Oh well, yeah. I don't know. Since I've heard Alan call in, things have jumped around a little bit. There's people, there's cultures, there's groups that have started having device-free events because they've realized that this, and really, you know, it's probably 14 years ago with the iPads and stuff, and I know some parents that would not allow their child to have a smartphone until they were way up in their teen years. Yeah, and they were socially shunned, you know.
Stuart.
And some of them would end up finding a phone anyway. They'd have friends or something that would give them a phone. And,
oh, yeah. But with the Amish around me. They find ways.
Well, and they end up with a phone anyway out by the office at their dairy barn or something. You know, they have a phone that's not in their house, which to me is pretty dang smart because – from my research locally, because of the problems that I exposed with the domestic surveillance system that I think had bad code in it in the 1990s, that just kept getting cut and pasted in as it went through the new phone systems, there's still glitches that happen that let the cat out of the bag, that all these microphones are hot when you think the dang phone is on the hook, like an old black desk phone from the 40s probably could be listening in on a boardroom meeting or grandma with the milkman, you know, anything to blackmail, extort, steal your ideas. You know, if you go right now and type in something you're looking for and it's not been invented, Google's going to steal your idea.
Of course they are. Hey, thank you very much for your call, Mike. We're talking about how people are getting stupid and we have proof of it, but next... we got Brent Hemachek on the other side of this break. Be back in 3 minutes.
If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Of the first hour for June 1st National Intel Report. As I promised, we got Brent Hemacek joining us.
And now, patriot, entrepreneur, and author, Brent Hemacek.
Welcome to the show, sir.
It's good to be back. I like the ominous music bringing me in. That's sort of fits my general demeanor, I think, overall.
I thought that was appropriate.
Very appropriate. So nice to be back.
We were, before you joined the show, we were talking about this new study by Intelligence Online that shows that the average intelligence of the American citizen age 18 to 60 has dropped for the first time in history. And well, with your Common Ground campus stuff, you're spending a lot of time on college campuses. See anything like that might correlate, agree, disagree, anything that goes along with that?
Yeah, so it's interesting, right, that the ways we measure intelligence, we use different forms of standardized testing, and those can pick up things. They pick up things that you learn. Different ones pick up thought processes. There's different ways that we decide to measure intelligence. You know, one of the things I learned a long time ago, this actually goes back to high school when I was getting an education, we were talking in a psychology class and we were learning about gifted students and intelligence. And one of the things that sticks with me is that teacher gave an example of a test that's given to see how if children are special in terms of intelligence. They'd ask like a young grade schooler, you have $100. Are you wealthy? And some kids would say, yeah, that's $100. That's a lot of money. And other kids would say, no, I need a lot more money than that. But a gifted kid will say, I don't know if I'm wealthy. It depends on what my neighbors have. So there's this way of seeing that. So that's almost innate, right? I mean, if you're doing that in grade school, you're picking up something special. But beyond that, when we start to measure intelligence, it's not just a function of what people know, but it's what they think. And we have known for quite some time that I should say the way they think. And we've not been teaching critical thinking skills. I think that if we were going to put one course into universal curriculum starting maybe in junior high school, we should drop in logic, which used to be one of the pillars of education, you know, going back to sort of medieval times and into the Renaissance. But it's not that brains are defective in young people. It's that they aren't being taught how to use them.
Exactly.
So I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think we're devolving necessarily in our frontal lobes, but we certainly are devolving in our methods of stimulating them. And that, I think, is what we're seeing the result of with the recent report that you mentioned.
Yeah, lack of stimulation. You were talking about the whole, the gifted program. So when I was in third grade, I was tested for the gifted program. So let's see, that would have been 1979, 1980, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And all I remember about the test was it was a bunch of puzzles, like maze puzzles and puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, each one supposedly had a time, how long it should take the average kid to get it done or something like that. So they put me into the so-called gifted program, and the entire class was just that. It was just puzzles. It was making you figure things out for yourself with very little interaction from the teacher. Now, back then, you know, it was just one of many classes. So, you know, for half an hour a day, I left the third grade class and I went over to this other class and did this stuff for a while. I don't know what happened to me. I clearly lost whatever gift I may have had back then, but it was all about puzzles and logical thinking and figuring things out for yourself. And we don't do that anymore. Here, you know, one of the comments from the video chat, they don't actually think for themselves. The kids don't do it anymore. That's not part of the education we provide via the current federal Department of Education. Now it's testing and teaching to pass a test.
Right. We do a lot of teaching to pass tests. I mean, and that part, that's not new. That goes back. I mean, I've got, I'm quite old, as people can tell when they run into me on the street. Hopefully they pick me up after they run into me. But I mean, I've got daughters in their mid and early 30s, and they were teaching them to test, back when they were in high school and junior high, and there was all the preparation before the test because the school district was impacted by the aggregate test results of the student body and so on. But, I think that, in terms of the how to think piece, that's the part where we're missing. And trying to get kids to understand that problem solving is something that is a technique. It can be developed, and it starts with rational assessment of the situation, looking at what you have, trying to look beyond the obvious. And one of the impediments we have to teaching that today, going back again to, this is funny. I never know where I'm going to go when I get on a show with you. But going back to high school again, same psychology class, hat tip to my old teacher, Ted Walker, the best high school teacher I ever had. We learned about this thing called eidetic memory, commonly known as photographic memory. This was counterintuitive. I didn't know this. but having photographic memory is considering a learning disability. So why, how could that be? Everything you see, you instantly memorize. You've got it. Well, because you instantly memorize it. And you learn that 2 + 2 = 4, but you don't know why.
Right.
So now what we have today is we have a new learning disability, and you don't have to have eidetic memory to get it. The learning disability is the internet. And it is a learning disability because, in a sense, it operates like eidetic memory. So we don't have to necessarily know anymore. We don't have to have eidetic memory to know 2 + 2 = 4. We also don't have to learn why 2 + 2 = 4. We can just put in to our phone, what's 2 + 2?
Yeah.
And then we get the answer. And we get the answer to anything. So why study history if I know that anytime a reference comes up I'm curious about, I can quickly look it up? Why understand physics concepts if I know that if I'm confronted with something that somebody mentions, I can look and read it and then get a conversational understanding of it? So the internet has replaced eidetic memory as a learning disability that's far more extensive in its reach. And all of America's youth, to some extent or another, suffer from it.
Yeah, I agree. I was just earlier, before you joined the show, we were talking, was had a caller on and said, you know, there's a lot of great things. It's great to be able to look up whatever you want, but it also, you're not using your brain anymore.
That's true. That's true. So can I take a liberty? And I'm looking at the conversation things that are coming in on the screen next to us. And I see that someone writes, psychology and psychiatry are pseudosciences. That's interesting. Permit me to share a different perspective. So you mentioned I'm on college campuses all the time, and I have been for the last 10 years. And before that, I was a volunteer high school teacher in a business class for about 10 years. So I've been around young people and teaching them for a very long time. And invariably, and it doesn't matter what topic I speak on, like at a college, kids will come up to me afterwards because they know, they see online I'm a business person. And they'll say, hey, I'm studying business and I want to know, what business book should I read? And I always give them the same answer. I tell them, don't read any of them. They're almost all garbage. They're just nothing but junk. They're filled with platitudes, phrases, and lies that successful people tell about how brilliant they are instead of all the luck they had to get to their level of success. Here's what I tell them. I say, read everything that Nassim Taleb has ever written. Read everything that Malcolm Gladwell's written and read it twice. And then read the FBI Profiler's Manual, which is filled with behavioral psychology. Because if you learn as a young person how not just to think critically, but to look at what you're being presented with, to look at evidence, if you will, if you're thinking of a crime scene. And if you learn two words, just two words, those two words are, is it? You'll go further in life, in business, or anything else that you can ever imagine, because it is about challenging conventions. And in terms of psychology in particular, I tell business people all the time, take every psychology course that you can. Understand human behavior. First, learn language, take accounting, then take psychology and understand behavior, and then take whatever else you want, because it's all junk. I mean, if you major in marketing and you go to work for a large firm out of college, you're not going to learn anything you just studied. You'll learn a lot, but it won't have anything to do with your college classes. They're junk. Yeah. But accounting matters because it's language, and psychology matters because all you need to do is know how to understand people. So there's a counterpoint to the comment. I hope the listener isn't offended. I don't mean any disrespect at all, but I do have a different outlook.
I don't know. I agree. You can learn a lot by studying people and behavior. I don't know if it qualifies as science, though.
Well, it's a behavioral science. There's different types of science. And science really is properly understood, you know, the scientific method applied. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the formulation of Bacon was this, as he gave us the scientific method. And he said, if you start with certainty, you end with doubt. but if you begin with doubt, you will end with certainty. And the idea that that only applies to testing something chemically or in terms of motion and matter is silly. It should apply to everything that we do in the world of business and otherwise. It's what I've been trying to follow my whole career. I always start with doubt on every engagement, and then I try to work my way towards certainty in terms of what the solutions are. And in the case of doing it with business, that's a behavioral science, and that's psychology, right? So I need the language, I need accounting, but the rest of it, I've got to be able to figure things out, and I especially have to understand people.
Yeah, you have to understand people to succeed in pretty much any business. It's time for the little sponsor break. It's time for Right to Bear Insurance. If you own a firearm, you need carry insurance. Legal protection as a firearm owner. And the most affordable carry insurance on the market is Right to Bear. So go to protectwithbear.com. Protectwithbear.com. Use code Lighthouse. I'll save you 10% off of what is already the most affordable in carry insurance on the market. Protectwithbear.com. Use code Lighthouse. Thank you very much.
Liberty Lighthouse. What talk radio should be.
Okay, so we've already talked about the screens. Like, you brought it up. Previous caller brought it up. We don't have to remember anything anymore because right. It's all right here at our fingertips all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't it Einstein who said, like, there's no need in memorizing anything that's readily accessible? Like, he supposedly wouldn't refuse to even memorize his own phone number because it was in the phone book.
Right. Well, he had a bit of a head start on the rest of us in terms of his other mental capabilities. By the way, I noticed that the listener wrote that they're not offended. So I just wanted to comment and say, thank you. I'm glad I didn't offend you. So look, there's a difference in rote memorization, in thinking that some memorization doesn't equate to knowledge. So one of the things I always do when I work with and teach young people is I tell them, don't memorize, internalize, take the concept, take the information and figure out a way to utilize it. And that's especially important with principles, right? You need to be able to understand them and apply them. Certainly some things have to be memorized. Some things are helpful to memorize, to have it. But on the other hand, memorization, the discipline associated with it, I mean, you can sort of equate it maybe to the military notion of marching up and down the square, right? Why do we march up and down the square? What's so military about that? Well, it's teaching us a way to behave, a discipline, right? A bit of some form or other of structure. So I don't think that it's bad to be teaching young people to memorize, to be compelling them to do it in school. Because what it does do, at least in theory, is it gives them a sense of intellectual discipline, forcing their mind to do something that might be unpleasant, but not damaging. And we have lazy minds these days. We have very lazy minds. The critical thinking piece is what's really missing. And that inability to say, to ask, is it? This is what's missing from America. If you could say, what's the biggest thing missing in America today? It's two words. Is it? Look at what the failure to say, to ask, is it, did to us during the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Things, and of course, there's variations on it, right? I know somebody might say, from an English perspective, well, is it doesn't fit here. But we'll take the two-word variant of what works. We weren't willing to take on critically and ask that simple question in its right form of things we were being told that now we know aren't true. I understand there's a new commercial out today. I don't have the details. It was earlier this morning I saw it, but it'll be out, of a group of physicians basically confessing to the American people, we bought the government line, we listened to the CDC, we forced the vaccine, we killed people, we're sorry, right? So this is a powerful thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
why weren't more physicians during the pandemic saying, is it safe? Is the treatment, is it really not effective? Right? So losing that ability comes with tremendous tailing losses behind it. Tremendous tailing losses.
Well, and those of us, medical or not, that were willing to ask that question were silenced, deplatformed, demonetized. Mm-hmm. You know, I've lost my YouTube channel forever. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough, the most published cardiologist in the history of the world, was all of a sudden found to be a quack because he didn't believe what was being sent to him through, you know, via the government. So I have a mathematical equation of my own. And that is that.
Let's hear it. As long as it's not a math story problem, because my critical thinking skills are light today.
No, it's more of an algebraic equation.
Okay.
And it's X plus politics equals X, or equals politics. X plus politics equals politics. X can be anything. It doesn't matter. You add education with politics and you get politics. You add medicine with politics, you get politics. Politics corrupts every subject that it touches. So all of these medical professionals, well, they got sucked in by the politics of it. These are the people who, I mean, come on, what's it take to become a doctor nowadays? You got, you know, the 12 years of you know, primary
right.
school
right.
and secondary school, 8 years to for just, you know, bachelor's and medical degree,
mm-hmm.
then what, 4 years of residency, and then they've got to be in school for
right
25 years by the time that they can actually call themselves doctor. How do you lose the ability to think critically unless that was shoved into your head without you even knowing it during that 25 years of schooling?
Well, my late dear friend with whom I wrote the book Zelenko, Dr. Zev Zelenko, complained frequently about the fact that doctors were cited in researches of the professional professions, forgive the redundancy, to be the worst critical thinkers. And that's because we've turned medicine over to algorithms. And so we've removed the need to think critically. You know, we all love the character Dr. House on TV. At least I loved him. I thought he was sort of a role model. But the way he approached diagnostics and what he did was the ultimate in critical thinking, right, along with snarky humor. But in the real world, the algorithm drives it. And if the algorithm drives it, you just need to know inputs. You don't have to think through processing. And if you don't think through processing in a patient diagnosis or evaluation, where are you thinking it through? Two thoughts related to what you said. With regard to your equation, very interesting. So when we did Common Ground Campus at Medina High School last year in Ohio, one of the things that came up, we're talking about student rights, and we're talking about what kinds of groups should be allowed on campus. That was one of the issues the students wanted to try to resolve. And so one member of the panel brought up the fact that she didn't think there should be political groups. And then they started to talk about some different issues, like a LGBTQ group in particular, I believe, came up. My question was, and this might seem silly to your audience, or it might not, but my answer was, why is that a political group? And when they stopped, and then we started to pull it apart, and the high school kids did a better job than most adults do, right? Because they came to this realization that it's really difficult anymore in America to define anything and not have it be political, mm-hmm. because we've made everything political. You can't talk about the weather. If you have a weather on campus group, it's going to become political,
right?
Because it's going to get tied into climate change.
Yeah,
because
right. somebody's going to mention climate change at some point, right?
Right. And so that piece... That piece is interesting, right? So we make everything political. And part of what we're trying to do in the Common Ground Campus program is stop doing that, right? To do better, as my partner Felissa likes to say. And well, so we're trying to do better.
That all ties back to your earlier writing about the team mentality.
Correct.
We've picked our teams, and we no longer critically think we go along with our team. And oftentimes, we're team right, team left. And, you know, maybe I have no opinion on climate change. But because my team says climate change is a hoax, then I have to go along with my team.
That's right. It's one of the problems that Robert Kennedy Jr. will have in running for president is because right. he broke orthodoxy with his team on the whole pandemic. And because he broke orthodoxy, he wasn't a good teammate. And it'll be very difficult for him, even though on other, you know, typical team left issues, he lines up pretty well, right? He's fairly mainstream. He's a good teammate in other ways. But he broke orthodoxy on a recent issue that was the top issue, the most important platoon on team left. And they're not terribly forgiving. Neither is team right, by the way. Neither side forgiving when you break orthodoxy. The second point, though, on what you said, we were talking about doctors and how long they spend in medical school and then how they were, you know, if they spoke out, they're discredited and things during the pandemic. And we also know that many doctors wouldn't speak out because they were afraid of losing their practice privileges and other things. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that. But here's the example I use with this. And I think it's very, very relevant. And that is, so I've worked with salespeople for over 20 years, and I do national sales keynote speeches and the whole bit, right? So one of the things we always talk about with salespeople is the used car salesman, right? Or the car salesman, that stereotype. So let's say you're a new car salesman and a couple comes in and they want to buy a car, and you go in and you talk to the manager about the price, and he says, sell them the rust proofing. And you say, wait a minute, it's a brand new car. They're rust proof now, boss. At the factory, we don't need to sell them rust proofing. And the boss says, sell them the rust proofing. Well, I don't want to do that. It's not right. They don't need it. Sell them the rust proofing or you're fired. Now, as a salesperson, you have a decision to make, right? You might have a hard time looking for another job. You might have, you know, eight wives pregnant or whatever it is, right? Really need your job. So then you go back out and you decide to sell rust proofing to that old couple. You know it's not the right thing to do. You know they don't need it. And you just did something that you didn't believe in. Guess what? Nobody's going to die from rust proofing. What doctors did was different. Because mm-hmm. they were afraid of losing their privileges, because they were thinking about all their student loans, because of all the money they were going to not be able to make if they weren't part of a certain practice, because of those things, they sold rust proofing to the American people. They killed them. And that's very, very different. The used car salesman did the wrong thing, but he can live with it. And maybe later in the future, he can do better. The doctor that killed his patients wantonly out of his own fear of losing something, no forgiveness for that. None. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to turn.
Nor should there be.
Nor should there be. And to all of them, just shame on you for what you did and the way you victimized people just to minimize your own pain or maximize your own pleasure. You should be ashamed. You didn't take the Hippocratic oath. You took a hypocritical oath. And Americans should be A, aware of that, and B, not forget it.
Absolutely.
But I don't feel strongly about it.
No, not at all. It doesn't show.
Right, I know.
2 minutes. Tell us what you're up to and where we can find you.
Well, we've got some, you know, we're kind of in a summer break here with the Common Ground Campus program. However, we've got some exciting things in the works that maybe by the time, if you're crazy enough to have me back in July, we'll be able to share some big news in that regard. So Common Ground Campus is coming along. And in the meantime, I'm working on actually two different book projects at the moment, one of which I can't really talk about. The other one I can say is my own. It's on a political theory topic that I've been building out for a very long time. And I've started the writing, so that's good. And otherwise, people can go to Human Events and other places and find some stuff I've written if their life is dull, boring, and empty.
HumanEvents.com, BrentHamachek.com, CommonGroundCampus.com.
Yes.
I really commend you for the Common Ground Campus thing. That is awesome. to go to college campuses and get young people to sit down and find the common ground and not, you know, to take off their teammate hats for a minute. That's an awesome thing to do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I always give the hat tip to my partner, Felissa Blajek, because if it weren't for her, it wouldn't exist. And she's put her heart and soul into it. And I'm happy to be along for the ride. And like I said, we've got some exciting things for next time I'm here. I think I'll have a nice way to tell your listeners to be able to support what we're trying to do. So thanks for giving me the opportunity. I always enjoy this.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. We'll see you again next month, Brent.
I hope so.
Brent Hamacek, everybody. We are. We started out this night talking about how people are getting more stupid and some of the reasons why and how. And we're about to come up to a commercial break. On the other side of that break, we've got Dave Sumrall from StopHate.com, the Justice for January 6th prisoners crusader that he is, will be joining us for his monthly visit. And, I don't know. Who knows? You never know where the calls are going to take us. Be back in about 3 minutes, friends.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.